1 Corinthians 3:9, Paul writes, "For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building." Paul writes this to the church in Corinth, and he says, we, Paul, Silas, Timothy, whoever's with him at the time, we are God's fellow workers, me and my crew, but you, church, you are God's field. The church is God's field. I bet you've never read this parable and thought that the seed was being sown upon the church, right? Probably not. I never did before I studied it. But the church is God's field. This is not an evangelism parable. How many of you guys believe most of your life this is an evangelism parable? I did. It's really not. It's just about sowing the word of God in the church upon the people of God. Now, why would we continue to invest sowing the word so much into the people of God who are already saved? Why is it so important to continue to sow the word over and over and over upon the people of God? You guys probably mostly somewhat understand this because you're here and you came back, right? But there's a lot of people who are believers who are not here because they don't understand this principle of why it's important to sow the word of God among the people of God. Well, we know that the church needs to be equipped, right? We know the church needs to be equipped because they are the ones that are supposed to do the work of the ministry and they're supposed to be edified. We see this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. He himself, Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. For what? The equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. The church, the people of God, are what is supposed to reach the lost. Amen? The people of God are supposed to reach the lost. Here we are today, coming to this place. We worship Jesus, but we're also here to be equipped and to be edified. To know what to do and also be encouraged that, yes, we can do it. The church is the field. The church is where this seed is being scattered. It's what I'm doing right now. It's what Jake was doing with his exhortation earlier. We're just scattering seed in the church among the people of God. Now it says in the parable that as the sower is scattering seed, some falls by the wayside. What is that for us? If the field is the church, what is the wayside? Well, it's the people that are around the church. Not like literally, physically, the people that live around the church. It's people who maybe aren't a part of the church. They're not born again. They haven't taken the steps to follow Jesus. They haven't committed their life to him. But yet, they may come to church occasionally. They may be around the church. They just haven't taken that step yet. They're around the fringes. Not everyone that sits in a church service is saved. Do you guys realize that? Right? Going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than sitting in a car doesn't make you, in the garage doesn't make you a car. Right? It's like, yes, Christians should come to church, but this attendance does not make you a Christian. So when we think about these people who are on the fringes, man, we are glad that you're here if that's you. We want you here. This isn't just for equipping. We do a lot of other things as the Word of God is shared. But listen, not everyone that comes to church is born again. But at the same time, we don't get time served applied to our sentence. It's not just if you come to church enough times that you're saved. It's all about our faith and our relationship in Christ alone. So this wayside or this path that's next to the field are all who are near the people of God but have not received the seed. They haven't accepted the offer of salvation through Christ. Sometimes this may be people who come to appease family members, right? We love when we do kids specials, kids programs, and your kids get to invite extended family, especially if they're unchurched. That's the one time they feel guilty and they'll come, right? But I mean, you know, that's an evangelism. It's an outreach tool that we use because it's hard to tell a kid no. But some of them come for that. Some of them may come for Christmas or Easter because it's the thing to do around the holidays. Or maybe, again, they come every week and they haven't made that commitment. But there's some association with the church. The wayside represents hardened hearts, right? It's a hardened path. These actual paths get hard because of the traffic on them. And when we think about the hard hearts of people, we always think about the hard hearts of people as though it's the person's fault, that they're just stubborn. But I want to tell you today that sometimes the hardened hearts of people is not necessarily just because they're stubborn, but like this wayside path that's been trampled on, they may be a person that's been trampled on. They may be a person who has been beat up over and over, and their heart is hardened, and they can't receive what God is trying to speak to them. Now imagine going to this packed down, hardened area, this wayside, and scattering seed on it. It's not going to be real effective. Again, the wind can blow it away as you walk upon it. You're going to kick it side to side. The birds are going to come and eat it. And church, every day, some seed is scattered upon hardened hearts. And again, it's easy to look at this parable and just say, well, the story and the moral of this whole parable is be good soil. Right? Just be good soil, and your problems are all solved. Now, some of you are like, that is way easier said than done. Just to be good soil. Just receive it. Just accept it. It doesn't really work like that. So when we think about the fact that this parable is not just about being good soil, because it's not even the parable of the soil. See, we often look at this parable and we break it down. We're like, it's evangelism and it's the four types of soil. It's these four people that three are kind of stubborn and one is good, and we all need to be the good. It's not the parable of the soil. It's the parable of the sower. This is a message to you and me. If you're born again, if you belong to Jesus, this is for you, not for the person with the hard heart necessarily. It's for me and you. Why is this message to the church? Why is this so important for those who are sowing and scattering the seed? Why do we need to understand that as we scatter out the Word of God, as we throw it out there, some of it is going to fall by the wayside? Why do we need to know that? Don't we just disregard it? It's important. For one, we've got to understand that not all of the seed that we sow will be received. I don't know about you, but that's something that I've taken issue with at times in my life. Where I'm like, if I'm taking the effort to share the Word of God with you, I find it offensive when you don't receive it. Right? Has anybody been in those shoes? Because when you kind of get like that, you're kind of like, well, why waste my time? Right? Well, this parable is to let us know that you can scatter the seed out there, and there's a promise here that some of it will not be received. And that's okay. It's not really a waste of seed, because I'm going to tell you, we have an endless supply of seed. Don't ever think about it like I wasted seed. That's not possible for you to waste something that you have so much of that we'll never even be able to use it all. Okay? So for one, we got to understand that, and it shouldn't stop us from sowing, because you can sow it, but you can't grow it. Right? That's not your responsibility. It's not what you're tasked with. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6 through 7 says, Paul writes, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Church, all our job is to scatter the seed and to continue to be faithful in scattering, watering, and trusting that God is going to do with it what God needs to do with it. Do you guys believe today that the Word of God is true and powerful. Yes? Do you guys believe that the Word of God will change people's lives? Okay, then our job is just to share it and trust that God will work in it to accomplish His purpose. Some seed will fall by the wayside, but that doesn't mean it was wasted or a worthless effort. It doesn't at all. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word that goes forth from my mouth, which we believe is the word of God because it is inspired by God, it's by His mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Do you guys catch the importance of this verse in Isaiah? Is that not only will it not return to him void, like it won't come back to him and be worthless or wasted, but it said it will accomplish what he pleases and it will prosper in the thing for which he sent it. Church, it doesn't say if you share the word of God, it'll accomplish what you please. It's not what it says. It says it will accomplish what he pleases. It said it will accomplish what he sent it for. Our job is just to share it. So we've got to understand that not all seed will be received, but at the same time, we have to understand that to those who are on the wayside, on the fringes of the church, and they have hardened hearts, it may be because they've been trampled on. And some of that trampling may have been done by the church. And this is the hard part for you if you're not in this boat, if you haven't experienced this. If you haven't experienced this, this is probably your second week in church. If we're being honest. Right? If you've never been trampled on by the church, this must be your second time here, second time in church, period, in your whole life. Right? Sometimes it's the hypocrisy of the church. Sometimes it's the spiritual abuse of a pastor. Sometimes it's the control of the members of a church. Sometimes it's the corruption of leadership. Some kind of bad experience in church often hardens the heart of those who are on the wayside. They're like, man, I've been to church and I don't really think I like it. I don't think it's for me. We have to examine ourselves. We, as people of God, if you belong to Jesus, if you have chosen to serve Him with your life, we have to examine ourselves and be sure that we haven't been trampling people underfoot and then just complaining that they have hard hearts. Because it happens. It happens. And it's not always intentional. That's why we have to examine ourselves. And we have to say, Lord, man, is there anything that I am doing wrong? We've got to be living right with God, receiving the word ourselves, along with encouragement and the correction that the word of God brings. And church, we've got to be prayerful. We've got to be prayerful and allow the fruit of the Spirit to be produced through us. Church, this stuff all takes intentionality. See, we think we're just going to like show up and the Holy Spirit's just going to, man, I'm just going to start moving through all of you and everything's going to be good and everything's going to be in unity. No, it takes work. It takes work to be in unity because it takes me coming into this place and saying, this is not about me today. It's about Him. And it takes you coming in and saying, it's not about me. It's about Him. And it takes you saying, it's not about me, it's about Him. And it takes every single one of us to do that in order for the church to not hurt people. And they're probably, you're not going to find a service in America where 100% of the attendance, every person came in today and said, it's not about me. Right? Because sometimes we can't. In our defense, sometimes we're hurting and we're broken and we're suffering. And so we just don't have the strength to say it's not about me. We came here thinking, man, I need something today. Okay? The whole point of that means that church hurt is going to happen. But whatever is within our control, we need to examine ourselves and say, Lord, What about me? What do I need to see? What do I need to do? What do I need to change? How do I need to be different? How do I today handle people with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? Right? How do I handle people with all of that stuff in mind? How do I handle people with those things as my goal to where I don't hurt or offend somebody? How do I just be Jesus to the people around me? This is why the parable of the sower tells us about the different places where the seed falls, so that we know what to expect, but also what we may need to do differently to safeguard ourselves from being the one who causes offense and hurt. Sometimes we can't do anything but sow. We just sow, and we just trust that God's working. But church, if we're not living Christ-like lifestyles ourselves, if we're not doing that, and then we're sowing seed, we're probably doing more harm than good. Right? We're probably doing more harm than good. There's a pretty public individual that I follow who I'll see he posts, and some of the stuff he posts about God is good. I mean, like, he'll post something, and I'm like, man, that's really good. And the next thing I see him post is something gossiping about something, somebody in the community, or complaining about something that's got some cuss words in it. And I'm like, dude, you just ruined everything that you ever posted for God with the post that you just posted. Right? Because nobody is going to read that and be like, oh man, this guy's really a man of the Lord. They're probably like, well, I read the encouragement you posted and then you slandered my neighbor. Right? We've got to be careful that the things that we're doing line up. Right? That I'm living a Christ-like lifestyle, so I'm not doing more harm than good. Then Jesus gives us the explanation to this parable. He wraps this up in Matthew 13, just a few verses later. He says, this is what that part of the parable means. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and he does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. This person hears the word of the kingdom and they don't understand it, and the enemy comes and snatches it away. Takes away the word that he heard. We have to see to it that we are not trampling the soil and causing the hardness, but we also have to pray, church, for hardened hearts to be softened. We have to pray. Listen, you might need to pray for your own hard heart to be softened. We've got to pray about this. Do you know that the sower could plow this path that's next to his field? Do you know that he could? He could go out and he could, you know, back then probably some oxen and dragging something behind it. They can go out and take that hard path, and they can begin to tear it up and work it, and they probably got to work it for a while. It's probably not one pass. Work it back and forth and back and forth to the point where it's softened to where they could plant there. They could do that. Now, if you believe that, because you can picture that in your mind, and you say, I believe a farmer could do that. I believe if he chooses to take that hard path, he could tear it up and work it until it's soft and it's ready to receive, and he could plant corner beans there. He could do it if he wanted. If you can picture that in your mind, then you also have to believe that the Holy Spirit can take a hardened heart and work it. It may take a while, but he can work it to the point that it too can be softened to the point that it'll receive the word of God. Amen? So we've got to be in prayer for hardened hearts. We've got to be in prayer for those people. And like I said, sometimes that's ourselves about situations. But see, in this explanation, Jesus tells us the key to this. He says that they hear the word, but they don't understand it. And you might be thinking, okay, well, they're just not smart enough to get it. That's not what it means. The word understand here means to put two things together or make a connection. He says they can hear it. Their hearing's fine. Their comprehension is fine. They're mental. They understand what you're saying, but they're not able to make a connection. They're not able to make a connection with it. It's your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. You can understand it, but it's not doing anything spiritual. It's just intellect. And he's saying that that's the problem, is they hear the word and they're unable to make a connection. See, there's times where people do not accept the gospel. When they're on the fringe, when they've been trampled, when they have hardened hearts, they can't really put things together. For you and me, if you've been born again, you know that we're justified and saved by faith alone, right? We're justified and saved by faith in Jesus and by that alone. The only way to save or to receive salvation is by receiving faith in Jesus, by clinging to the cross. What he accomplished for us, his finished work, makes us right with God, and our sins are forgiven, and we receive the inheritance of eternal life. Like, that's simple to receive if you've already received it. Right? If you've already made that connection, it's like, well, that's as simple as you can make it. If you've not made that connection, I can tell you years ago, when I didn't make that connection and I heard that, I knew mentally what you're saying to me, but it didn't matter. It didn't matter because there was no connection between my head and my heart. There was no connection that made it come alive to me in a spiritual difference because I had a hardened heart. Church, there's no shortcut. There's no alternate route. There's only Jesus. That's it. It's the only path to eternal life, right? And who doesn't want a get out of hell free card where you get to just do whatever you want? Not everybody wants to understand the life-changing Word of God and actually follow Jesus. But church, you can only make that connection when something spiritual happens. You can only make that connection when it's spiritual. It's not about memorizing the verse. It's not about being able to tell somebody what salvation looks like. It's about being able to make the connection in your spirit. It's not about intellect. It's about an indwelling of the Holy Spirit in your own life. And so this morning, you know, I don't know if there's anybody in here or watching online that is in this boat, but I am sorry if the church has hurt you. But you've got to understand and you've got to remember that that was people and not Jesus. Listen, if you've blamed Jesus for people hurting you, exactly what Jesus said would happen is what happened. You hear the word of the Lord, and because of your hardened heart, the enemy snatches it and says, no, that's not for you. He's bad. He's hurt you. It's lies. It's deception to keep you away from what is rightfully yours, what can be had in Christ. Listen, I've been hurt by the church more than once. I've been hurt by the church as a congregation member. I've been hurt by the church as a pastor, and I don't say that to get any kind of sympathy other than to say I'm just like every other one of you who have also probably been hurt by a person in the church at some point. But listen, why do I choose to keep coming back? Why do you choose to keep coming back? It's because of one thing. It's because of what Jesus has done for us rather than what people have done to us. Amen? That's so important that we grasp that. It's so important that we understand that. And then it's important that we understand that Jesus was hurt by people too. Right? I mean, he was hurt by people too. And you can say, well, the Pharisees and, you know, the Romans and all these people. No, he was hurt by some of the people that were closest to him. And I'm sure you have been too. Who's been hurt by like a family member or a really good friend or something? Probably every one of us at some point in our life. People are messy, right? Are we getting that picture today that people are a mess? It comes back to the pool of Bethesda again. Like, all right, here I am. I'm a mess. I can't even do this. I need your help. People are messy. Jesus was hurt by his own disciples. Yet he still loved them so much that he went to the cross for them. He loved them, and as he was on the cross, there was one of them who remained by his side. Right? Where were the others? In hiding. They're all in hiding. Or had betrayed him, and you know, Judas betrayed him and had killed himself. And yet Jesus went to the cross for them too. Now, if you've been hurt by people, what I'm asking is that you would do what Jesus did. And that in the midst of hypocrisy or the hurt of man, he followed his Father in heaven. He said, you know what? It's not about me. It's about the kingdom. It's not about me and how I feel. It's about God and his purpose and his plan for my life, that I'm not here by some kind of mistake. See, we get Jesus' plan. We understand that he had this plan before the foundations of the earth, that he would come and live a sinless life and give his life for us. We understand that. That was the plan from the beginning. But do you realize that God has a similar plan for you? That it was from the beginning. That he had a plan for you to know him, to love him, to serve him, and to do his work here on this earth, just like Jesus did. Now, hopefully for you and me, that doesn't mean that we end our lives on a cross, but I'll tell you what, we don't know what's coming ahead, do we? We don't know what this world's going to look like in a couple more years. This morning, I want to encourage you with Hosea in chapter 10, verse 12, the second part of it. He says, "To break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you." And so if you're somebody that's had that hardened heart, today's the day. Break up that fallow ground. That means like unfruitful ground. That means ground that's dormant, that's just sitting there. It's not producing anything. Break it up, because it's time to seek the Lord and seek him until he comes and rains righteousness on you. That's the charge for each and every one of us today. Would you stand with me in this place? I want to give an invitation that if you find yourself in that place, that you would say to the Holy Spirit, "Holy Spirit, come and break up this ground in me. Come and work in me." Listen, it's not about me, it's about him. That's the attitude that you've got to have today. And as we open up the altars, I thank Jake for mentioning this earlier. Man, listen, you don't have to worry about how many people come to the altar. I've got people that will come down and pray that I trust if we have enough people down here. If you have a need, we want you to come. But specifically, if you feel like you're that hardened heart that needs broken up today, I want you to come. I want you to invite the Holy Spirit to work within you. And maybe that's not you. Maybe you're good there, but if you are a person that maybe the Holy Spirit's speaking to you and reminding you of a time that maybe you were the one who caused hurt. Maybe you're the one who trampled on somebody else, whether intentionally or unintentionally. I want you to take this opportunity right where you're at to ask the Lord for forgiveness and make a plan to ask the person for forgiveness. You will be surprised at how much that will bring freedom to your life for something that they may have forgotten about. It's not about them. This is about you. It's about you having freedom from the guilt and shame of your past than everybody else. This morning, I want you to just pray and ask that the Holy Spirit would lead you in sowing seed. That he would guide you to help you sow seed. And when you happen to run into those people who are on the wayside. That He would give you eyes to see them, not as failure, not as unworthy of your time, but He would give you eyes of compassion and a heart of love to be able to just tell them about the goodness of God. Church, we've got to come back to the fact that the Word tells us it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. It's about how good God is, not about how bad they are. That's so, so important. So important. Ask that God might help you to be able to soften their heart by showing the goodness of God to them. Father, we thank You and praise You for Your mighty, mighty Word. God, we thank You for the power that is in the Word. We thank You that the Word is life-changing, that it's active, that it's working within us, that even if we just hear it, if we have ears to hear, that it can change our life. God, I pray that You would give us open and willing hearts today. That whatever it is that You're ministering to each one of us, that we would be willing and able to receive it. God, I pray for whatever our needs are, that if we're to receive prayer today, that You would work upon our hearts. We just ask that You would tear down any pride that's in the way of us seeking help today. That You would help us to see like that man at the pool, that there are times in our lives where we've just got to say, enough is enough, I need help. And whether we cry out from our seat and we say, Lord, I need You, or if we come down to the altar and we say, I need somebody to believe with me and to pray over me, that whatever that is that we're in need of today, that we wouldn't be tied to our thoughts, to our feelings, to our emotions, but Lord, that our spiritual needs would arise to the top and we would throw away all these things that hinder us from receiving to You today, receiving from You, and God, that You would pour out Your Spirit upon these people, and we would leave this place changed and ready to do the work of the kingdom. And we thank You for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar.